What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge merchandise. We'll be talking about the brand new mobile game Sorcerer's Arena. We'll also be talking about Jedi Fallen Order and some other bits and pieces and stuff. So let's jump into the big news, really, because it was a bit of a kind of, it wasn't the biggest news week of the year, but Disney did announce tons of stuff about Star Wars Galaxy, the Galaxy's Edge area that's coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World. We got to see some of the merchandise. They showed off some of the food. They showed off loads of artwork that you looked at and went, it's not going to look like that because there's going to be a sea of people in this big empty space. And generally, just as a whole, there was tons of information. But I'd be honest to say, almost too much information. They kind of dumped it all at once, which kind of lost it. It was a bit hard to kind of keep track of what was going on with it all.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd spread it out a bit more. But Disney knows what they're doing for the most part. So I've got to assume that if they dumped all this information now, they still held stuff back that's going to kind of trickle out as we lead up to the Disneyland launch and then the Hollywood Studios launch after that. So yeah, there's a lot to digest. A lot to digest, actually. Yeah. But there's still a lot we don't know. Like we got details a little bit on the Millennium Falcon ride, which sounds awesome, but we don't really know like how it works. We just know it's going to be groups of six people, give or take.
Yeah.
And that's
Yeah, sorry. And I was just going to bring up some carry on with the park stuff.
Right, but we don't know how, you know, groups of six on what's probably going to be the most popular ride in the park for a year or more, isn't going to have a 12-hour line just automatically, simply because, you know, six people is not a lot compared to the people who are going to want to see this. But Disney seems confident that it's not going to be horrific. Yes, it's going to be several hours long for at least a couple years, but not the absolutely crazy thing that we can kind of picture. So there's a lot of things we don't know. There's a lot of things we won't learn. Like they're not going to do a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, at least not for a couple years. But yeah, there's that. And then we don't have many details about the other ride that's going to be there. We know it exists, but we don't have too many details. I know there's a picture of it, which you've got up right now.
The thing that gets me with both this one and so first off, this one here looks like you're obviously going through and you've got the First Order and all the rest of it, but it looks like you're on just it's a small world boat just going through stormtroopers. And so therefore I'm thinking this one here looks like this one's going to be running like continuously and that will speed the process up. And I'm wondering with those pods for the Millennium Falcon, it's like, oh, it's six people, but if they are loading six people continuously,
right,
because they've got, you know, 50, 60, 70 pods, you know, running, we don't know. It's that thing of they're supposed to be able to turn over so many people so quickly. That might be the way that they do it is we might think, oh, the pod, but if there's 60, 70 of them all running and they're all 5-6 minutes apiece, that queue will just be constantly shuffling. Whereas I think like with like Avatar and things like that, you know, each room fills up and then they kind of move them around a bit. But I do think they have worked out that they need, and you can see it with this picture here with the First Order ride. They are just going to keep rolling the attraction. It's just going to keep rolling. And that's what helps the queues keep moving. And I think that's going to be the key thing for them to kind of go back to what some, I think is probably the better way for them to do it is just keep rolling people on like the Haunted Mansion. It's a small world, you know, just keep people moving. This whole thing of doing like soaring where you put everyone in an alternate and no one moves for 25 minutes and suddenly then everybody moves. That's not so good, but this way it keeps everyone moving.
Yeah, I wouldn't even use Soarin' as an example for that because Soarin' is now down to reasonable levels and, in fact, is fairly easy to get on. But you see that frequently with the Avatar ride, the Flight of Passage, where, you know, everyone is riding the same ride at the same time. So you get that whole bunch of people, they get on the ride, and then anybody who's not on the ride has to wait for it to finish, which is a very long wait. I experienced this also at Busch Gardens in Virginia. They have a VR ride there. I forget, it's Flight of the Fairies or something like that. And everybody's on the ride at the same time. And I literally stood in that line. The line that I got into, I could see the door. I could see the entrance to the ride. It still took 30 minutes for me to get onto the ride simply because I got there right as they finished loading up the previous, and they had to go through the entire ride before they let anyone in.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'm sure that they've got something planned for the Millennium Falcon. Like you said, if it can load continuously, even if it's just six people at a time, as long as it's just a continuous rotation, that won't be too bad. I mean, it'll certainly be bad for the first year. That's just assumed.
Yeah.
But, you know, as more people ride it, as the newness of it kind of wears off, it'll come down to reasonable levels. And, of course, they'll be introducing new rides, not just in Galaxy's Edge, but we already know they've revealed plans for all sorts of rides at the parks over the next couple of years. So there's always something new to kind of be like, oh yeah, we'll do Millennium Falcon, but we first want to do Mickey and Minnie Roadster over where the great Hollywood movie ride used to be or something like that. So, yeah.
I remember with, I think it's the Minions at Universal. That was such a slow loader because they did load everyone into the theater at once. But yeah, I mean, personally, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to be going to Disneyland or Walt Disney World for a while. So I'm hoping it'll calm down by the time I get there. That's because we're going to be going to the Asian parks instead. So let's first off look here at some of the merchandise. Now, the big key thing of this merchandise is, apparently, none of this stuff is supposed to be available anywhere else. It's not supposed to be generic stuff that you can find at the Disney store or online. It's all supposed to be built into what you should be able to find at a store there. They're kind of going with this Avatar thing. Personally, I think this idea will work for about 6 months until they start chucking in the new action figures and the new pins and stuff because they realize they can make more money that way. Just being honest, I don't really believe this stuff for too long.
I'm not sure. I mean, they have kept the Avatar for the most part out of the rest of the park. There are a couple of bits that have bled out. I can't remember what it is, but one of the main stores in Animal Kingdom, you know, you get to the central hub and there's one main store. They've got a very, very small section where you can get a couple of Avatar things. I think you get a puzzle, maybe a couple of action figures. That's about it. But for the most part, Avatar is just in Pandora.
Yeah.
And there is a difference here because there is already a Star Wars section in Disney or Hollywood Studio, depending on which area you're in. They've got the launch bay. They've got Star Tours. They haven't announced plans to move either of those, although it would not surprise anyone if they did. So it's not like, you know, they'd be in a situation where, oh, there's nowhere else to put these Legos and action figures and the Black Series and all that stuff. They've got plenty of places in the park. They've got Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. So I could see them holding out. I do agree eventually it'll all just kind of merge into one, but I think that I would disagree with the timeline. I think it'll be longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, let's actually talk about the merchandise itself. And you got the droids up on screen, which I think is pretty cool.
So we've got the Droid Depot, which are pre-built droids, including, they play whatever music you have on your smartphone. They're basically a speaker, and there's going to be other bits and pieces. They look pretty cool. I mean, I think R2 and BB-8 are obviously going to be the two big ones, and Rex, I think they're going to be the ones. The other droids, maybe less so. I'm surprised they haven't got Chopper in there.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it turned out that Chopper was part of it as well. Or the droid from Star Wars Resistance, obviously not BB-8, but the other one that's a mechanic droid.
Yeah, we've also got some new lightsabers and stuff as well, which kind of makes sense. And then we've got some weird looking bits and pieces of like
statue,
Darth Maul statue, which does look great.
They look cool, but I got to tell you the thing that actually I think a lot of Star Wars fans are kind of honing in on is that holocron right in the middle. Because that's something that hasn't really been available before. And it's not iconic in the movies, but it's iconic in in the expanded universe. So
I've been watching going through Star Wars Rebels. So I've just recently just watched the episodes with Maul and the Holocron and stuff. So yeah, it's that kind of thing of like, yeah, I know what that is now. We've also got some robes as well, which, you know, you let people dress up, which is kind of ironic because they don't let people dress up in the parks, but they'll let you dress up as a Jedi. But I suppose they want everyone walking around in robes.
It is a little bit different because you can just go, you are generic Jedi number 253. Yeah. Whereas, you know, that's Anna, that's Elsa, that's Snow White. That's, you know, this at least you can say you're a background character. You're not Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're a Jedi. There is a difference. So I can see where they're going with that.
Then we've got some soft toys, which look a little bit like this thing over here. This frog thing looks like a Boglin. If you ever remember them from the 80s and 90s. We got plushes.
I have to say that Wampa looks
awful.
Pretty terrible. All the rest look fine, but the Wampa looks awful.
Yeah, but even the Tauntaun doesn't look great.
Well, the Tauntaun looks like the kind of Tauntaun you would want to take with you so that when it dies, you can, you know, cut it open and keep your body warm.
I'm not so keen about the size reference because the Porg is the same size as the Wampa. And then we got this weird wrap, this thing that was from it's just an odd it just seems a bit cheap. And it's supposed to be a creature stall that's, you know, supposed to be, I know it's supposed to be a, I don't know, just odd. And then we've got we've got these kind of golden like units and stuff, something that looks a little bit more like it should be out of the Swartz, out of Spaceballs.
Well, you know, maybe we're gonna get Star Wars the Flamethrower. I don't know.
Yeah, it's if you've never seen that movie, I think that was like the 80s as well, with a golden Yoda. It just
does yogurt.
I saw that as a meme this week, and I've just not been able to look at this picture the same.
I haven't seen that. If anybody who hasn't seen Spaceballs, you should just watch it. Just keep in mind it's very 80s and very coarse, very adult. Don't let your little kids watch it.
We got the Resistance stuff, and the statues look pretty cool. And then we got some more like weird plush kind of things, which all look a bit like a pop vinyl, but in a form
The only one that kind of gets me is the First Order Stormtrooper over on the bottom left. There's something with those legs. Those legs, it's like, I don't even know. The rest of them I can kind of get. You know, even Rey and Finn, I don't know why Watto is in there, but
sure. It did seem a bit weird when he was in there, but I'm guessing that they're thinking like he's like a merchant. And it's very much like, here's all the stuff from the new movies. And we've thrown in something from the Clone Wars. It was just like, okay. This is what it said. They said, apparently you won't find any evergreen Star Wars products. Everything was created specifically for Galaxy's Edge. We're giving today's consumers an experience only we can deliver. Items reflect the story of yore as they've been told through Black Spire Outpost. So the idea of obviously is to make it look like it's old and what you might find in a real place, what we're going to. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but when you take this home and put it on your shelf, it won't be like that. It just, some of this merchandise just feels a little bit cheap. And I don't really like, I can see where they've gone with it and they've got this overall arching. But as someone that, you know, that wants merchandise to put on the shelf and to display it, would I want one of these things on the shelf? This just doesn't, I mean, I could maybe go for one of the heads
or something. Again, they have to have merchandise for the full range of things, because you don't want to get one of those busts for a 4-year-old child.
No.
Notwithstanding, it's probably heavier than the 4-year-old child, but you don't want to spend a lot of money. Relatively speaking, it is still Disney. So, yeah, those little those toys, they're not for us. You know, I'm not going to stick one up back here. I'm not going to have one in my room. But if I had a niece or a nephew in the 3 to 7, 8 range, I'd totally buy one of those for them and let them just destroy it.
Yeah, but this is the thing, is like, I think because of some of the other merchandise that they've got, you know, that you can find at Star Tours and just in the stores as a whole, they're generally, the quality is a little bit higher, and it felt a little bit like there were some good things there, but this whole idea of them being specially for the area, and probably they'll be park exclusive, so therefore they're going to jet the price up. And I don't know, it just, I wasn't blown away with the merchandise, which was a little bit disappointing, because, you know, you're putting all this effort in, and it's like, yeah, there was a few items there that which looked cool, like I really like that Darth Maul bust, but it was a bit of like, okay, the soft toys and the cheap, the droid looks all right, but it's like, well, why make it a speaker, a Bluetooth speaker? It was just like, you're going to boost the price up because it's got to have all that technology, and it's like, will people actually want it as a speaker? Or is, I don't know, it just didn't quite catch me the way I was hoping for with some of this merchandise.
Right, and we'll see. There's a couple pieces that I'll definitely take a look at when I get to the parks eventually. And it's entirely possible, you know, pictures don't always convey. And that goes both ways, of course. Sometimes you see something in a picture like, that is amazing. And then you get to the store and it's like made out of cheap plastic or something. But it goes the other way as well, where sometimes you're like, yeah, it's not that great. And then you get to the store and you're like, actually, you know, this feels kind of substantial. This is a nice bit. So, yeah, I agree. Initial impressions, I'm not super amazed. I do like the lightsaber. I will grant them that, especially since it's supposed to be a customized. Well, they'll have replicas of the characters' ones, but they're also going to have the build your own lightsaber. Obviously, people are going, well, they've already had the build. This is supposed to be like a step up. These are supposed to be like premium style lightsabers. I don't know what they're going to cost. I don't know how they're going to look. Those are ones I want to check out. And then, of course, there are the droids. So they're not just droids. They are interactive with parts of Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. Not the ones you showed, the customized one, which I think you had hovered over for a brief bit.
Yeah.
If people have been to the Harry Potter area of Universal Studios, Diagon Alley, they sell certain wands that when you stand on plaques, yeah, you can say the words and you can do the motion and something will happen. Water will sprinkle down or something like that. And from what I gather, these custom droids will have some sort of interaction in Galaxy's Edge, only in Galaxy's Edge. We don't know the details, but that could be very cool. If they've got, you know, we've seen Disney do this interactive stuff with like the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. That was a very bare bones effort, but now they're making this a highlight of Galaxy's Edge. It's something that you can do that's not a ride. That's very important for keeping people interested in the area. I'm actually pretty interested in seeing what they're doing with this. It'll depend largely on cost and just how much they do. If it just causes some water to sprinkle on your head, I probably won't do it. But if it's something cool, something that's truly memorable, I could totally see picking up one of these droids.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of cool stuff there. I think it's just that thing of, as well, of you see like what other companies like Funko and Hasbro and Lego are putting out, of like how much, like, you know, better than any kind of, and you know, my instant thought was they just need some of that stuff exclusive that you can only get there, and that stuff will sell massive, the pins and all the rest of it. And they've kind of gone in an entirely different way than the normal. So I encourage that, but at the same time, you're going, you're kind of missing the boat maybe on what actually people want rather than and what's popular, and kind of, I don't know, hopefully we might see stuff, but they can put that stuff into Star Tours or wherever else, like you say. I just feel like at the minute, the merchandise seemed a little bit all over the place, kind of some high end, some really high end stuff and like really low end stuff. And there wasn't really, it almost doesn't look like there's much in between.
If you want to be cynical, you could say that they're kind of going underwhelming with this because they're going to sell to the people who will buy anything Star Wars, and then they'll add in more products later. But we'll see. It could turn out that some of these products end up being very popular, and it could end up that they flop completely, although that would surprise me simply because of the hype around the launch of this. But I don't know. It's a little early to tell. It'll be a little bit better when we can get our hands on some of this stuff. And obviously, I'll be in Disneyland in December, and that will be the first time I get to see many of these products in person. And I mean, I'm sure somebody from the Diz Kingdom team will probably have a chance to see them as well. Yeah. Maybe Travis or someone like that. Yeah. So we'll know more when we go hands on. To sum up, I generally agree, a bit underwhelming, but there are some bright spots in there of, okay, if they do this right, that could be really cool.
So I was really surprised as well to see them announce it this week. I thought, you know, we're so close to Star Wars Celebration. I thought they would have just held on to it, put out, do a special presentation panel there and reveal this during Star Wars Celebration. And there's going to be a lot of Star Wars news coming out that weekend. It just felt a little bit like, oh, okay, why are you doing this massive Star Wars news dump? The only thing I can counter argument to that is Universal announced a light show and they've liked the Harry Potter show and they've almost like playing a bit of tennis and going, oh, well, we've got something too. That kind of feels a bit like the way that kind of worked.
I mean, I suppose it doesn't seem like Disney really cares too much about what the other companies announce, but it's as logical a guess as any. But I mean, Disney knows that at least in Florida and Anaheim, Tokyo, Hong Kong, etc., they are the king of the hill when it comes to these parks. So unless Universal or Legoland or SeaWorld or somebody comes out with like this super amazing, everybody has to ride this ride or buy this product thing, Disney's just going to go off and do their own thing. Yeah. And they'll continue to lead the pack because they've got the best innovators in the business on their side.
It's funny, really, because I think, like, especially like from like the Brits' point of view, you know, we go to Florida for 2 to 3 weeks on vacation. So therefore going to Universal is just like, yeah, we'll do that because you spend a few days there. And that's become quite the standard for us. You know, most of Brits will go to Universal for a few days because we can, we've got the time. And the thing of we don't really necessarily view that competition of time. Whereas I think obviously with you Americans, you tend to only go there for like weekend short breaks. So two days Universal to Disney in America is 2 days you're not in Disney. Whereas us, we go, we have that so much more time when we go.
It's highly variable because there are people like me who have been enough times and are in a situation where we can go, all right, I'm just going to pop down for a handful of days. But I think that is underselling it. A lot of people who go to Disney, it's either their first time going or like the first time in a decade or more than that. A lot of Americans treat it the same way you're talking about British and Europeans treating it, which is this is a major event. This is going to be a week and a half, 2 week things. And a lot of them will be like, all right, we're going to be at Disney for 5 days or 6 days. Let's kind of break it up and go to Universal or SeaWorld or one of the zoos, maybe go down to Tampa and do Busch Gardens or something like that. That I have certainly given my experiences on this, but I don't think I am the normal Disney park goer. I think for the majority of people going, it is a much more important moment. And I think the week-long to two-week-long trip is a bit more of the standard experience for most of the people in the park. Of course, there's the people who live in Florida. That's a different matter. And the people who are more like me and have no life whatsoever. So they go down every once in a while and they know all the park. They know all the shows by heart. They know when the twists and turns happen in all the rides. And they can go into the pins and be like, oh, that's not new. Oh, that's a new one right there. Yeah, most people are just like, this is the first time I've seen the pins. This is the last time I will see any pin that I don't buy, stuff like that. So,
yes, I mean, it's a bit like kind of like for us over here, we might nip and pop to Disneyland Paris for a weekend or for a few days. Right, you don't go into a week there because there's only there's that kind of difference of going to Florida. But nevertheless, keeping on the Star Wars project kind of side of things, at Star Wars Celebration, they're going to be doing a panel on the brand new EA game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. They've announced that they're going to be showing stuff off there. There'll be a panel. I fully expect that we'll get the full press release and the full video release probably minutes after the show's ended because they've not shown us anything. We know zero. We just know that you're going to be playing a Jedi between the Revenge of the Sith and Rogue One, somewhere in between. And that's it. We have never seen a picture of it. We don't know what it looks like. But we're all going to be finding out at Star Wars Celebration, which makes perfect sense. If you're going to show off a brand new video game, don't go to EA, or you know, don't go to EA Access or E3. Do it at Star Wars Celebration. You've got a crowd full of people. You're going to have the whole weekend to yourself for Star Wars news. Makes total sense.
It does, because gamers are already going to be aware of stuff, and they'll pick up information at E3 and PAX and all this stuff. But when you're doing it at Star Wars Celebration, you're targeting your target market, but you're also targeting the people who just buy Star Wars things. And they might not know that there is a new Star Wars game coming out, particularly since the Star Wars games have been so rare over the past 7 years or more. Obviously going back to before the Disney era. Yeah, just being able to get people go, hey, you know, maybe you have a PlayStation, maybe you've been thinking about getting a PlayStation or an Xbox, or you've been thinking about upgrading your PC. Here's a reason to do it, because we've got this game coming out. You get to be a Jedi. It fills in some story gap. There you go. Because gamers already know. And it's going to get mixed in with other games, and gamers will have already decided whether they want to play it or not. But these guys at Celebration, who are not gamers, that's who Disney's trying to reach right now.
And it's also going to be interesting to see what they do, because it's an EA game, which instantly kind of puts you a little bit like this, especially after the release of the last two games of Anthem and Epic Legends this last month, where things have been kind of good and really bad.
Apex Legends.
Yeah, Apex Legends, sorry. So,
I like Anthem, though.
Yeah, it's a kind of weird thing of, you know, if they fill it with microtransactions, if it's single player, you know, multiplayer, etc. It's done by the guys that do Apex Legends, so that could be quite cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing there, but that's still going to be a few more weeks away. Obviously, it's Star Wars Celebration as well. I suspect we'll see the first trailer for Star Wars Mandalorian. They've said that they're going to be showing off some bits and pieces for Disney Plus on April the 11th. But for that news, definitely go check out our other podcast, What's on Disney Plus podcast. We'll be going into all of that. And I suspect we shall see some new stuff on the Clone Wars, and more importantly, Episode 9 trailer. I think that's what they're holding out for that weekend. It's got to be.
Yeah, I don't have any further thoughts on that. I mean, Star Wars Celebration is going to have a lot of stuff, and they're going to be pushing their new products, Disney Plus, Mandalorian, very hard. They're going to be pushing non-gamers to game with the Fallen Jedi Order. I can never remember which order it comes in.
Jedi Fallen.
I can never remember the order it comes in. And they're gonna want to push these things, and that's great. That's what Celebration is for. So
yeah, but that's cool. So shifting away from the Star Wars point of view, let's move now on to a new mobile game that got announced this week called Sorcerer's Arena. So this one is kind of one of those weird things of they've kind of announced it and it's not out yet. We don't know when it's coming. And it looks to be it's going to have a player versus player. There's going to be single mode. They're going to have a number of different characters. They're definitely going with the idea of what they've done with Disney Magic Kingdoms and Disney Battle Heroes of using characters from everywhere. So we've got Mermaid, we've got Fantasmic, we've got Monsters, Inc., we've got Princess and the Frog. And we've got Pirates of the Caribbean, we've got The Incredibles, Peter Pan, Lion King, Bug's Life. You know, they are really showing off lots of different characters. We've got Stitch, Darkwing Duck, Pete, we've got Inside Out, we've got Mulan. They are really showing, we've got Merida there. We are really seeing lots of different images here. The art style is kind of quite interesting. It's unique to this game. You've got tower events, quests, etc. It looks all right. I'll give it a go when it comes out. It looks kind of quite cool. But yeah, they didn't really show off any gameplay, though. I don't know. It's out in like soft launch in some countries, but I've not got around to playing it yet.
Oh, I didn't realize it was in soft launch yet, although I think it might just be iOS. Mm. But yeah, the lack of gameplay is the only thing holding me back at the moment. The few screenshots we had, like the one you had on screen a moment ago, kind of suggests that it's going to be an action RPG, which means like direct control of the characters using an on-screen thumb pad and buttons, which not my style, not something I'm interested in. Like Future Fight, Marvel Future Fight's similar. But that's speculation, but just based on some images. I don't actually know if that's the case, or if it'll be turn-based, or if they're going to do like some sort of hybrid. But I'll definitely give it a try. I'll keep an eye out for what regions it's in soft launch, see if they release an APK for Android. And we'll see how it turns out. But I mean, it's Disney Future Fight. That's basically my current impression
of it. Just kind of just having a quick look here just to see what it looks like and stuff. And it's, I'm just going to bring up here. This is a little bit from the Geeky Chick. She's managed to obviously get in there. So definitely go check her out, because she does lots of videos and stuff on Disney games. But just showing off here a little bit. So we've kind of got like a battle mode bit here where
Looks a little like Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. So you kind of got the different characters here, and it's bouncing off of each other, and we've kind of got walls and stuff. So, looks okay. Looks fine. It's that kind of weird thing of, I do think Disney are doing the right move with this. I think of bringing in all their different characters and stuff into one game. It seems to work better. It allows them to do events better. You know, we've seen it with like Disney Emoji Blitz and stuff, where using all the characters, it means the games can keep getting updated. They've got new content coming. They can tie it in with movies. They can tie it in with TV shows. And generally, the lifespan of these games is much longer than when they just do a single title on a movie, which has a hit for a few months and then kind of filters off unless it's Frozen. And it does seem a good idea. It'll be interesting to see how they go. It'd be nice as well when we've actually got the full lineup of these different mobile games that they're working on, so we can see a little bit more connected like we do with Marvel, where everything comes in at once. And they kind of tried it with Star Wars. Star Wars didn't quite hit because they had a few missteps, but it's like now Disney seem to be coming in. This one looks okay. The art style is unique to it, which helps. Sometimes that kind of helps going in. Got external company doing it, so therefore that means generally they're a lot more attentive to it than just when Disney do it. That's, you know, they don't do anything themselves now, video game wise, but so it could be cool. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with it, trying it out, seeing if it hits the mark. I find with myself, like with Battle Heroes, I kind of drop in and out of that. It hasn't really got its full grips on me, but I do at least get that game. It's just kind of quite cool to see what they're doing with it all at the minute.
Yeah, the battle one didn't grab me, but I did like the idea of it, and I do like that they're trying new things with the Disney licenses, not the Star Wars, not the Marvel, but I would not have expected this kind of game in a Disney thing, because you don't think of, for the most part, the Disney characters in a combat role.
Yeah.
Even if they have combat in the movies, like say The Lion King, you know, Scar fights Simba at the end. It's not really the focus. And yeah, so I've been surprised by these, and I'm continued to be surprised that they're trying out different versions of the combat games as well. If they can do a good job with this, I'll definitely give it a shot. I don't know, it might have more lasting value than the other Disney battle game did, but
well, my biggest problem with one of my biggest issues with the Battle Heroes is I think it's quite complex for kids. It feels quite overwhelming and like trying to learn of all the different techniques. There's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of stuff to it. My big problem that they've got with it is they seem to have this system of like servers, and like server one might get gassed on, but server two hasn't got it yet. And it feels a little bit like you're missing the beat. Like when they say like Gaston's available, it's like everyone should have it. It should be a bit like an event. And they've not really gone down this line of having events. They've not really done the movie tie-ins. I thought they would have done, but they've not really done that. You know, it's like, you know, they don't mention like Dumbo coming, or, you know, they've missed everyone movie so far. They've not tied into any of that. You know, they launched with Incredibles and Wreck-It Ralph, but they never really tied into those games, into those movies. They didn't do any tie-ins or any announcements when the movies got released or when they got released on home video or anything like that. They just seem to have missed that, where I think Disney Magic Kingdoms make a much bigger emphasis of their events. And then I look at Disney Emoji Blitz and go, they have too many events. There's an event that only lasts for 24 hours and you've forgotten it and you've moved on and it's gone and busted kind of thing. If there's that line like between of how I feel like events, and I do think Disney Magic Kingdoms gets that. They do that month-long event, like at the minute you got the Princess and the Frog one, and that seems to draw people in and keep people going, whereas Disney Emoji Bits are so quick and so fast, and they're gone before you even know it.
Yeah, although they're trying to do different things. The Emoji Blitz is not meant to be like a continually played game. You know, it's supposed to be a kind of pick up, play a couple rounds, and then turn it off mode. So I can see why they would have shorter events there, because they want you to just kind of play, preferably give them some money, obviously, and then move on with your life. Whereas Disney Magic Kingdoms, the intent is to have that game constantly loading up. They want you logging in every hour or 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever. And the longer format for that makes them go, well, you are going to be logging in multiple times a day, yeah, every day for a month. And maybe you will get the top tier prize, or if you spend some money, maybe you'll get the next tier prize or something like that. But I have to say, even Disney Magic Kingdoms, like one of the reasons I stopped playing it was that the events were coming too frequently. I needed a break in between the events, because it's like, I am not going to do month in, month out of turning this thing on every 2 hours, especially not when I'm working. Yeah. So
yeah, being in the middle of an event at the minute, I am playing through the Princess and the Frog event. I'm trying to get through it, trying to work a little bit on trying to get Tiana. I know I'm not going to get the end boss, so I'm not even really, I got to that point of like, I'm not even going to probably even go above try. Like, if I can get, you know, 90% of the characters, great. That'd be great. I'm not planning on trying to go for that last character, because I've never managed it, pretty much. I don't think I've ever finished an event. And I've got to that point now where I'm just accepting that. It's like, if I can get as many characters and as much as I can, great. But I know I'm not going to get that last character, because I'm not willing to wake up every 2 hours religiously and spend gems and all the rest of it. This is, I'll buy the extra characters. I brought the Louis, the Gator. I used some gems to buy the other character. I can't even remember a name. That seemed a bit, I can't even remember these characters. So I was probably, because I'm not, it's like, I like Princess and the Frog, but like, I couldn't even tell you any more of the characters than maybe the two or three. The woman that are in there was like, I don't know, actually, I don't remember these characters at all.
Yeah, I don't know much about Princess Frog. I don't think I've actually even seen Princess and the Frog, to be honest. But the way to enjoy Disney Magic Kingdom is to set reasonable expectations right at the beginning and kind of stick to it. You know, I was the same way when I got to the end of playing the game, which was, I know I'm not going to get the last tier character. I'm probably not even going to get like the second to last tier character, but I'm content with that, because for the level of effort that I'm putting in, I'm still getting four characters or whatever. And as long as you're not going in with the mentality of, I have to get every single character, you won't get frustrated when you don't get every single character, and you can just kind of brush off the, oh, this character is only for the people who spent $50 or more on this event, and you just, I'm not going to get salty over it. I set my expectations and I met my expectations, and that's it. But it can be hard to get to that point, because the point of these games is to collect every single character.
It's got to catch them all, that kind of Pokemon kind of zone of, you know, you, that thing of, you want every single one.
Exactly.
Yes. And I actually tried out that Pokemon Let's Play or Let's Go thing on Nintendo Switch. It was a demo up after they had all that Nintendo Pokemon Shield and Sword thing come out. And I'm sitting there going, yep, still not. I tried it. Yeah, not for me. But let's move on to the last thing. This week we did have a release of a new video game. Well, I say video game very, very loosely there. We had Kingdom Hearts VR Experience was finally released in Europe and in the US. It did end up coming out in Europe a day before. I kind of confused a few people when I said it was out now, because that was what the press release said, but it was actually the day it came out in Europe a day early. It came out in Japan like a month ago. It was supposed to come out before Christmas. This thing got delayed playing it last night. So you put this thing on and you sit in the gummy ship and they're talking to you and you're thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? and I'm pressing the buttons, nothing's happening. You can turn around and you can see Goofy and Donald while you're in the gummy ship. You go for a tunnel with loads of nice scopes. You then sit there on Destiny Island and you reenact at this moment with Riku and Kairi. And then they show off, which feels a little bit like watching World of Color, where there's lights going off on the beach and there's basically a trailer of going on for Kingdom Hearts. And then they've even and there's coming soon, they're updating it with new content and galleries and stuff to show you what Kingdom Hearts, the story of. It's a really weird experience. I was done and dusted in 10 minutes. I kind of left it and was like, they said things are coming soon. They didn't really look to be there was that much to begin with. It was like, I know it's free. It feels a little bit maybe like Square Enix are just doing some experimenting with VR for this, doing a little bit of an experience, see if they can go. This would have made a lot more sense had they used it to push Kingdom Hearts 3 a couple of weeks, you know, before Christmas. It felt a bit odd. It was really nice. It was, you know, sat there and you got your headphones on and you're seeing, and it looks fantastic and you can see all this. You right got the sunset on Destiny Island and there's all these fireworks going off and the music's going and it brings you all back in and it's reminding you of everything that's gone on. But it was like, why did they make this? Why have they done this? This makes no sense. Why have they put money into it? It's not going to bring any money in. It's not good. It just feels like an experiment. It feels like it's like, you know, oh, we need to practice. Let's give them a project to do and we'll put that out.
Yeah, and I mean, it does feel like its original intent was to come out before Kingdom Hearts 3 and be an advertisement for Kingdom Hearts 3. And in that sense, it would have been fine, but it came out after Kingdom Hearts 3 for whatever reason. And now I will admit, I haven't had a chance to play it. I was out of town all weekend. That's why we're recording a day later than normal. So I haven't had a chance to go at it, and I have to admit, I don't think I'm even going to bother.
I definitely say I recommend you try. If you've got a PSVR unit, download it. It's free. Try it out. It's only 10 minutes. It was, I, as a Kingdom Hearts player, it was like, yeah, you know, the music was going. It's that kind of thing after finishing Kingdom Hearts 3 last week. Thought I might not have heard that music for a while, but nope, brought me straight back in. You know, being someone that has completed some of the main three games and some of the side games, yeah, I still would have no clue what's going on. But the video, you know, I liked the music. I liked how it was, and it seemed good. I just couldn't quite get over that things coming soon. I'm like, and it was like, why is this not all in one go? It's like, why are you trying to episode this little thing? Because it's tiny as it is. It was done and dusted in 10 minutes. The only good thing was, because the VR unit was then on my head, I mean, it's still always a bit blurry when you put it on, I then just decided just to jump into some other VR games. I jumped into my Wipeout game for the first time. I got it in the bundle pack. Oh, I finished the race. I finished first and was like, oh, I had to take the VR unit off and let my stomach settle for the rest of it because it made me feel a bit queasy, that VR in Wipeout. That was like, yeah, that's a proper game, but I can't play this in VR. I can, but I felt weird for the rest of the evening.
Yeah, but I think I'd still rather play that than just a random VR experience in Kingdom Hearts World. I mean, if it was even... if it had a bit more, like explore certain, you know, go to Tangled, just looking around, but being able to immerse in these environments, which look fantastic in the game in Kingdom Hearts 3, I'd be more interested in that. But like sitting on the gummy ship and it's like, whatever, the gummy ship cutscenes were the most boring part of the game to begin with. So
the thing is, it started off with this gummy ship and I'm like, oh, are we going to do like a gummy ship mission? No, we're just sitting in a tube, thumb like Willy Wonka. It just didn't, like, I don't know. It was really, I know it's free, so I can't complain too much, but you do have to wonder of like, what, this just feels like a pet demo project that they put out, and it's fine, you know, we got a lot of these kind of things. But yeah, it does seem a bit odd. If you were on the thing, I'm going to buy this VR unit for this experience, don't, please don't. If you want to be VR experience, you buy it because you want to play Astro Bot and a few other bits and pieces. But yeah, this is just a nice freebie. It's a bonus thing. Yeah, it's fine. I'll test it out again when the new content comes, but I don't think I might sit through it once more when that comes out and I put it on again. But if this was it, I probably would just delete it and probably never do it ever again.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll probably download it. It's free, but I don't really feel much incentive to bother with it. I'd rather just play Kingdom Hearts 3 or even go back and play one of the other Kingdom Hearts games rather than through this. So
speaking of those there, just before we head off, Kingdom Hearts 3, there was kind of an interview out with, I think, the director, and he said that there is going to be like a critical mode coming soon, and like a new game plus kind of thing. I think in the past, they've always released them as like separate games years later done as the final mixes. I think they've said that they're not doing that with Kingdom Hearts 3. They're just going to do some DLC and add it in. There is going to be some paid DLC. There might be a bit more of a story chapter. That was kind of through a Japanese website that was translated. So there might be a bit more of Kingdom Hearts 3 to come. In some ways, it's a very old-fashioned the way they've done it. But, you know, I think doing a Kingdom Hearts 3 final mix, I thought that might have worked. But I don't know. They decided, obviously, this time that they don't need to do it with DLC. And apparently there will be... The next Kingdom Hearts game will not be Kingdom Hearts 4. It'll be something else. I mean... Sitting here looking at the history of Kingdom Hearts going, yeah, well, they always do lots of spin-off games between them. I mean, it's not the end of the Kingdom Hearts games, but that was kind of quite cool. And also, if you're in the US, there's now going to be that all-in-one collection where you get all of the games. That's coming back to stores. It was sold out. Why that was an issue, I don't know. You could buy it digitally the entire time. They put out this press release, and I put it up and went, well, it's on the digital store all the time, but if you missed it, it's coming back. But yeah, how have you? I suppose you've not really had much chance to play much Kingdom Hearts. You've been playing Anthem.
I mean, yeah, I've been playing Anthem. I've also been playing a couple other games. But like I said, I was out of town from Friday to Monday. I didn't get to play much of anything at all. So no, I've done a little bit of Kingdom Hearts 3 since we last talked about it, but not as much as I would have liked. So I'm at whatever's. I think I just arrived in Arendelle. I've done a little bit of Arendelle, more than I had last time, but still I'm in Arendelle. So
yeah. So yeah, you've done Monsters Inc.
I've done Monsters Inc. I still have at least Big Hero 6 and then the Final Fantasy World or whatever the Square Enix world is going to be.
Yeah. You've probably still got a good, probably another 8 to 10 hours. Maybe.
I mean, probably more because unlike the, you played through it and you just kind of didn't worry about finding chests and hidden Mickeys. I have been going out and finding those, and that'll probably add another couple hours onto it as well. So
yeah, I mean the chests are just if I bumble into them and that was it. The same thing with the I just didn't really see I but then you like doing your photo mode. I'm not really it doesn't
this game the photo mode in this game isn't worth talking about. I only do it for the hidden Mickeys. I'm not a fan of this game's implementation of the photo mode.
No, it's I must be on this week was a bit of an odd week because I played like that finished. I then jumped into WWE for a bit for a couple of nights, played I started Super Mario Brothers U and then there was the Division beta, so I tried that over the weekend. I literally was just along the lines of right, I'm just gonna mess about a bit because Kingdom Hearts kind of was a full on, and having played it was just like, yeah, I'm just having a bit of a weird week of just jumping around a bit and not really focusing and not really having. I ended up putting like 3 hours into the Division B beta, which I was not expecting from a demo. I thought I'd be in and out in like 20 minutes to half an hour. 3 hours later going, okay, this is kind of interesting. And it kind of actually scratched the itch of the game and going, I don't need to buy it now. I've played it enough that it was fun, but... That's the weird thing with these demos, isn't it? Of like, and give you two. It's like I could probably jump into Anthem and do like Xbox EA Access, do 10 hours, and probably be like, that's fine. In some ways, that weird thing of like, do you give them a level or do you give them a lot to do? And yeah, Division kind of was like, yeah, this is great, but 3 hours was enough for me to go, yeah, it's fine. I'm happy.
But I mean, it's also going to depend on what you want out of these games. Games like Anthem and the Division 2. If you're going to go in and just be like, I'm just going to play through the campaign, then yeah, sure, you're done. But the draw of these games for a lot of people is the continual loot grind, the getting better gear, getting better equipment, probably a PvP aspect. I mean, Anthem doesn't have PvP, but the Division obviously does. And yeah, that becomes the appeal. And, you know, it's all what you want out of the game. And I actually go for both. I love going through the single player stuff. And then I very casually, I'm not a hardcore loot grinder, but I'll definitely log in every once in a while, even for a game that I've beaten, like Destiny 2. Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go get a couple engrams and see what kind of cool stuff I can get from it.
So on the question of Anthem, how much of Iron Man is it like?
That's, I mean, aesthetically, it's a lot like it. Combat-wise, if you're playing the Ranger, which was the one that was primarily picked in the demo, yeah, very Iron Man, because you got the missile, and you can make it into a laser beam and stuff like that. The Colossus might be Hulkbuster-ish.
Yeah.
The others are nothing like Iron Man, other than the way they look. One of them's more like Storm. I mean, it's called Storm, so whatever. But yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those games. It was on my radar. It kind of blew up. I mean, now it's apparently blowing up people's PlayStation 4, so I'm even less likely to actually inclined to fire it up. But yeah, it kind of came, fizzled, and I'll just move on to the. I'm not a looter shooter. For shooting games, I'm very much a campaign person, and I'm out. I don't like multiplayer stuff. Probably why with like Battlefront, I like playing Battlefront, but I like the campaign. I like the arcade mode. The multiplayer stuff I dabble with, but it's just something that. That's why I'm really hoping that with Jedi Fallen Order, we get like a proper single player campaign, a proper one, because I know they did it with Titanfall 2, the team that did that one, rather than just this online stuff. I need that kind of finish the story, get the credits and move on. That's the kind of player I am. And these endless, just play a game until basically you get bored or they turn the servers off, basically seems to be the way of looking at it.
Yeah. And you know, it depends on what you want. And I've heard that the Titanfall 2 campaign is actually really, really good. I haven't played it myself, but every time, Fallen Order or even like Apex Legends comes up, people are like, it is it's brought up, and they're like, Titanfall 2, you should play through the campaign. So
yeah. Right, on that note, that's pretty much the end of the Disc Kingdom podcast for this week. We'll be back next week as per usual. So let us know in the comments below what you guys think, and we'd love to know what you guys are doing as well, what you've been playing, etc., especially if you're still playing for Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, follow, and subscribe, and we shall see you guys in the video. James, where can they find you?
You can find me at heroiclegacy.com.
And we shall see you guys soon. Laters.